Well, hello everybody. As y'all know, I am a solutions-oriented kind of gal. However, I must advise that this segment may seem disproportionate with its mentions of problem. Today we're talking about both an evergreen and universal issue here, a matter that is serious for all caregivers and those in their orbit. Caregiving includes your own care. Shocker, I know. As caregivers, we deny ourselves. We become so consumed with the tasks and emotions of caregiving that we don't realize how far gone we may be. Often others see it in us before we see it in ourselves. So listen up to this segment for you or for someone you may know. According to the Family Caregiver Alliance, more caregivers are hospitalized due to burnout and stress-related illness than due to worsening medical conditions. The reason is clear. Caregivers tend to put themselves last. Despite its many rewards, including sharing love and the honor and purpose, caregiving can be overwhelming, especially when caregivers are expected to do this work for the short term and they find themselves in it for the long haul. Self-care can be, at best, an afterthought. Let's look at what can happen to somebody when caregiving. As we do, I encourage you to see if you recognize any parts of yourself in here or tendencies. Maybe you're watching somebody who's important to you become consumed in caregiving. That's a hard thing to witness. Rest assured, we'll talk about some ways to avoid getting sucked down the swirling vortex, ideas to help you or to help that someone else in your life. Caregiving contains counterintuitiveness. Just as airline passengers are advised to put on their own oxygen mask before helping others, caregivers must look after themselves first. It seems counterintuitive to those of us who feel compelled to help, those who may live in perpetual mom mode or whose MO has always been service to others first. There's plenty of emotions in caregiving involving overload, feelings of isolation and stress and guilt and depression, helplessness, anger, resentment. I wrote several blogs about the emotions of caregiving, which I referred to as FUDGE, fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, and exhaustion. I've written blogs about each of these pieces of FUDGE, and you can find them all on my website. But in caregiving, we lose our way, ourselves, and our wits. Here are some scenarios that you may recognize. Overload. This is Tracy's story. She said, "When I first became involved in caring for my parents, there were only a few personal care tasks to do. Gradually, I took on more and more and became responsible not just for their meals and their baths, but also for home care, housing modifications, and legal and financial affairs. There was too much to do in a week, even a morning. I became overwhelmed without realizing what was happening." Pro tip here, take a deep breath, stepping back, analyze. Assess what your loved one's needs are today and will be in the future. Make a list of all the tasks and their priorities. Rank them according to what you must do personally and that which you can delegate. For example, maybe it's important for you to take mom shopping, but not so important to be the one who takes her to the senior center. "No time for yourself," said Cece. "Juggling the demands of parent care, a full-blown job with a long commute, and my own marriage and housekeeping, I never felt I could take time for myself," she said. lost in the role of caregiver. I became unbalanced and I lost my health. By the time I made it to my doctor, I had anxiety, blood pressure issues, and was pre-diabetic from all the racing around and grabbing fast food in a pinch. I hate that I did that to myself and to my family. Pro tip, take some time to consider or make a list of what your needs are, starting with the personal. Protect the time you have with your spouse and your children. If you get on a caregiving gerbil wheel, it's easy to find every minute given away and no time left for you. So think, find something that feeds you, a walk, reading, solitude, prayer, dancing, exercise, retail therapy, and schedule some of that in. Trying to do it all. This is Kathy's story. Because I had been entrusted with my parents' care, I didn't believe anyone else should take on those tasks. I truly believed no one else could care for my parents as well as I could. I was wrong. They were well cared for by others, but in a different way. After some consultation with a professional, I learned that we could get the work done through other people, freeing me up for some respite and self-care. Pro tip. Now, of course, I'm going to suggest that you consult with a care manager type. Learn to accept and ask for help, especially from family and friends and community resources. Call a meeting with your siblings or significant others to talk about how the tasks can be delegated. Isolating yourself. Lee got lonely. She says, as the months of caregiving went on, I became more withdrawn. I didn't feel I was ever doing enough for my parents because I was so overwhelmed by taking everything on myself. Pro tip. When people offer to help, let them do so. Even having somebody bring over a casserole one night, offer specific things they can do, whether it's an errand for you or vacuuming or cooking or staying with your loved one so you can have some time to yourself. Here's a cool angle from a longtime caregiver, and this solves a lot. If you find yourself urgently needing human contact, invite over two friends or relatives who have volunteered to help. Invite them over at the same time. One can cook and look after your loved one while you and the other one take a walk. Savor that freedom. Come back and take a walk with the other friend. But anyway, use a trilogy to lighten the load. Not setting limits. This is an everybody dilemma. I hear this a lot. I used to say yes when something was asked of me. I never felt I could say no without being perceived as selfish. It was something I projected onto myself, and it was false. Then I would beat myself up for always saying yes and for having to fit one more thing in. Then I would resent people and some things. It was not good. Pro tip, caregivers can learn to say no where they're used to saying yes. They have to protect their time and energy. Try this. It works, and many people have returned to tell me about their success with this next one and relief. You can say, no, I can't do that, but what I can do is, no, I can't do that, but what I can do is, and tell them. Or simply say, no, I'm unable to do that right now, period. Don't try to be all things to all people. You can say no without putting somebody out of your heart. It's not selfish to take care of yourself, to give the best possible care to somebody else. Lack of a support network. Tony remembers. Always being reactive rather than proactive, I was not aware of community resources that could help. Because I didn't know any other caregivers either, I felt frustrated and helpless. I felt bad that I didn't know, but I had no time to look, no time for research or to reach out. Floundering is no fun. Pro tip, find support groups, informal and formal, where you can express your feelings that you may be uncomfortable with, such as frustration or resentment, but the solutions live there too. Find other people who can chime in on the where's and the how-to's and all of you going down the same path together. That can help you cope. Search locally or online. Search by aging or your diagnosis or support groups in your town. Ask within your faith community or your employer's EAP if there is one. Declining health. Sandra shares here, my lack of self-care became a vicious cycle. Too tired to exercise, I stopped altogether. Then I couldn't sleep well, which made me anxious. To calm down, I had a few shots of vodka every night, and then I didn't feel like cooking or eating. Junk food kept me going on the fly. Pro tip, we got to watch out for destructive ways of coping, such as drinking too much or misusing medication or overeating. It can also be the what you are eating and when. Take stock of yourself physically and emotionally. Are you where you want to be? How can you make decisions differently to incorporate longevity and sustainability into your health and routine? No social activities, Pam finds her way back. She says, because I felt exhausted, isolated, and because my peers couldn't relate to what I was going through, I stopped socializing. No time anyway, and they couldn't understand, so we drifted apart. That only increased my depression and hopelessness. I found myself so very alone. Pro tip, while it may seem counterintuitive due to all the reasons that we're discussing here today, try, no matter how difficult it is, to have a life outside of your caregiving duties. Take a caregiver vacation. Arrange for a bit of respite care to enable you to take breaks for some soul-nourishing activities, such as an evening out or quiet time to read or write letters or an email or a weekend getaway. You know, respite can be defined as some kind of coverage, short-term care in the home by a caregiver, a relative, or coverage if your loved one's in the hospital, coverage there, sitting with them there, or enrolling your loved one in a senior daycare, if that's appropriate. No time out. Will denies himself. He said, because I never stopped working or thinking about my parents' needs, I never took a break from my responsibilities. I completely forgot how to relax, and I had no tools for my own self-help and self-care. Pro tip, tap into some quick relaxation methods. If you find yourself continually tense and irritable, experts advise using simple techniques such as deep breathing exercises. Nobody will know you're doing it. But there's also music and nature walks and massage, visualization, and going to the gym. But some kind of pattern interrupt can help change your outlook and keep you positive. If you control the how and the when you get tense, see, that's power. Stepping away, though, stepping outside, calling a friend to hear about their day and take you out of yours, that can do worlds of good. Studies show that a positive outlook can do more for your health than we realize. Then there's work and family imbalance. Gwen feels guilty. My employer didn't have a family-friendly policy, she said, so I never felt comfortable asking for flexible work arrangements or time off. That pressure increased my health problems and my resentment. I felt trapped, and that messed with my loyalty to my employer and made me feel stuck. Less and less time with my family was resulting in my kids testing their boundaries and a less than stellar marriage. Pro tip, if you work for a mid to large employer, find out if your employer has an employee assistance program or EAP. You can find out about counseling and other support programs that may be part of your benefits package. You can also, if you need to, look into federal and state laws regarding the laws that offer employees assistance in maintaining their caregiver responsibilities. One example here is the benefits under FMLA, Family and Medical Leave Act. It allows employees to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for an ill family member. Some states also offer paid leave for caregivers. If you're in California, working caregivers receive 55% of their wages for up to 6 weeks of leave in a year. Just hear me when I say it. It's not just you. You are not failing. Change is needed and can occur. Caregivers often struggle alone for years, thinking this is just part of the responsibility before they reach out for help. A survey, and this is stunning, a survey from the National Family Caregivers Association found that most caregivers wait 4 or 5 years before seeking support. 4 or 5 years. There is a solution. Don't y'all hear me say that often? Let's get into the solution now. What if you reach a point where you feel you just can't give anymore? Consider hiring help from a home health agency, or you may need to consider placing your loved one in residential care, especially if you can't find adequate or affordable in-home care services to replace your own. And especially if it's a safety issue, y'all. You know safety is my litmus test. In the most desperate of situations, you may want to speak with a family or grief counselor or hire a care manager to organize and monitor your loved one's care. Good self-care is largely a matter of awareness. Never lose sight of the importance of putting your own health first. Experts advise you to look at the situation realistically and to be forgiving and patient with yourself. To thine own self be true has meaning here. Most times the caregiver has to consider their own sustainability, since caregiving so often can become long-term. Remember that your whole life is not caregiving. You choose to be there out of your love and sense of duty, but as an individual, you have a right to wellness and to love yourself. A caregiver really has two choices: fall apart or find inner strength. What I've found and know to be true about caregiving is that we're not alone. There are folks to soundboard and to help solve stuff. We don't have to, nor should we, do it all. There are times we need to pause and learn to think differently. Regarding tasks, we can divide them, build teams, and build in respite. Be open to new ideas. Care for yourself so you might care for others. If ever I may assist with anything that we're talking about here, then consider setting up a consultation with me. In just 1 hour together, you'll move forward with a plan, action steps, and some resources. Tap my advocate brain and my extensive care management experiences to help you and the person you love. You know, it's said, and it rings true, that you can't drink from an empty cup. To further sum up this segment, let's fix this, y'all, and I'm here for you. I hope that something that I've said today provokes your thought and action and helps you to move more comfortably forward. Thanks, everybody.